It's good. Last week we started a series called Moving Forward, and I gave you five things that you could do to move forward in your personal life as well as a church family. And I talked about prayer and confessing and being humble, and that we would communicate God's word to you, and that we would participate in what God is preparing for us to do. The bad news is clear, and I'll start out with the bad news before I get to the good news. I read that 9 out of 10 churches in North America are losing ground in the communities which they are located. They're declining or growing more slowly than their respective communities. But the good news is clear as well. More churches are indeed breaking out. More churches are indeed revitalizing. And I love that word, revitalizing. When I looked up the synonyms for it, because I'm into that stuff, it means energizing. It means uplifting. It means invigorating. It means refreshing. And at the same time, revitalizing means bracing and fortifying. Because we're living in a world now, or even in North America, where we see God declining in people's homes and less people going to church. But I will tell you this, because what seems like an impossible situation in any congregation is now a showcase for God's possibilities. I'm all about God's possibilities. Let's open in prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for this message that you gave me a few weeks ago. Thank you for that song, The Power of One. We have so many things to be thankful for, Father. So many things, Lord. And I just ask that your presence would radiate in this place, Father. That we would push aside the things of the flesh or the things of this world and learn how we can live for you daily, hourly, even every minute, Father, and second, where we make those decisions, Father. And I just give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we had a church meeting here for about a half hour and 45 minutes. And as we reflected on it, or as I reflected on it during the week, I felt like we didn't give the Lord a lot of glory last week. And I want to do that today. We have so many things to be thankful for. And yeah, the school's, you know, shutting down and getting ready to leave to a new location. But we thank the Lord for everything that he has done here in this church. You look at, we have 3 brand new roofs that are going to outlive all of us here. Well, I don't know about the little kids, but, you know, praise God, it's going to outlive us. And we've just been blessed by St. Michael's, by Covenant Christian Academy of, you know, using this place for their glory, because we want this place to be filled every day. We want this place to be a house where people can come and learn about God and understand about hope and what it means to live for him. And I thought to myself, the New Testament is really an action story. It's about a story about the gospel moving forward. The New Testament is really a story about moving obstacles as the gospel moves forward. And if you make that commitment to move forward, you know, when you surrender your life to Christ and you start living for him, there's going to be barriers that are coming. That's why I talked about a part of revitalizing is bracing and fortifying and getting ready for those storms. I mean, we've got a big storm coming up down south. You know, we need to be praying for those people. But I'm talking about the storm of the enemy wants nothing else but to break us up. The enemy wants to break up your marriage. The enemy wants to break up your relationship with you and your kids. He'll do anything he can to keep you out of God's house. In God's house here, we want it to be safe. We want to be loving and caring and doing things for not only our church family, but outside these walls. It's so important. When I was on vacation, I read a little book. It's like, I don't know, 100 and some pages by a guy called Tom S. Rainer. He's like president of Lifeway Ministries, okay? The book is called Who Moved My Pulpit, which I thought was a cool title. So he wrote this on page 27 of his book. He said, too many congregations today are stuck. They're not moving forward. The Great Commission that we read about in Matthew 28, verses 18 through 20, is about moving forward, us moving forward, personally and as a church family. And you're listening, God, I put, at its essence, the Great Commission is about going. Such going requires forward movement, and it requires removing the obstacles that will hinder the progress. Because you're always going to have obstacles in your life. You're always going to have naysayers. You're always going to have negativity. But you have to get beyond that, because this Bible is about love. This Bible is about forgiveness. This Bible is about getting ready to go and make a difference for Him. So I pray that these messages, the next few weeks that I get the blessing of sharing, will open the door for us as a church family to enter the world of God's possibilities. So He has a plan for us. I feel like the time is now. The time is now for the obedience to the Great Commission. The time is now for leading churches to health, to be a healthy church. The time is now for me and for you and for all to seek and fulfill the plans God has for us. And you read that. Jeremiah laid it out for us in chapter 29. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a hope and a future. That's what Christianity is all about. You have a hope and a future. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, the Bible says, and I will hear you, and you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So right there is something we need to do to move forward. We need to pray. We need to seek Him. And He'll find us when we seek Him with all our hearts. That song that Jesus sang, let me be the one to start a revolution. And I'm praying that people hear that call today. Let me sing the song to the people of the world, to the children of the world. And when I read that chorus, I thought to myself, John the Baptist, man, he said, I'm a voice crying out in the wilderness. And you know what John the Baptist's song was? Make straight the way of the Lord. Jesus, if you looked at so many things that he said, you can put it in the song. I'm not going to sing it because I don't want you walking out early. But Jesus' song was, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. One of Jesus' song was, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Then I thought about Paul's song, and I thought about Keith Comer a couple weeks ago. He used these verses. I think this would be a song that Paul would sing. To the weak I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all people, that by all means I might save some. I do it for the sake of the gospel, that I may share with them in its blessings. And I thought to myself, that's what all this is about. All the preparation, all the songs, all the prayers, all the communion is for the sake of the gospel, so that we can pour in you, and the Holy Spirit gets a hold of your life and pours these things into you, and you go out these side of these walls and make a difference. We can make a difference. And it says in the song, it all begins with one, the power of one. Joining the hundreds of millions of people believing in one, the power of one. It said, don't hang around. Don't stand up and sit down. Believe. We can change the world together. And I love when he says, please don't close your eyes. Please don't turn away. Let your voices rise. Put love on display. Make a difference now. I believe you and me can make a difference now. So don't turn away. And we see people turning away. I gave you that statistic last week that they said in America, only 50% of the people attend church now. Probably because we're good. We got all the stuff we need. Got a nice house, got a nice car. Really don't need God. And then when you see a tragedy happen, and God forbid if something would happen like 9/11 again. But if it would, this place would be packed. Because they're figuring out, oh wait, all my stuff isn't giving me what I need. I don't have hope because I'm not following Christ. And you got to be plugged in. There's so many verses in the Bible about going to church and honoring the Sabbath is so important. But we can make a difference. And I believe you and me can make the difference. And I thought about in the Old Testament, the prophet Ezekiel was told by God to speak to those shepherds who weren't doing what God called them to do. And my main passage today, this all that was my introduction. My main passage today is Ezekiel 31, six verses. Check this out. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, the Lord says, thus says the Lord God, shepherds of Israel who have been feeding yourselves, explanation point, should not shepherds feed the sheep? With a question mark. You eat the fat, you clothe yourself with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. And then in verse 4, I put check marks there, which is not in the Bible, but I put it to lay it out to show you. And in verse 4, the weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back. Anybody know anybody straying right now in their relationship with God, straying from being a part of what God wants them to do? The word goes on and says, the lost you have not sought, and with the force and the harshness you have ruled them. So verse 5 says, so they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beast. And I'd love to know what you think the wild beasts are. I mean, I think in this generation right now, the wild beasts definitely are unbelievers. The wild beasts are the media. The wild beasts are people and philosophies that don't want nothing to do with God, who are seeking other things like Buddha and Mormonism and a Jehovah's Witness to try to find that hope. In verse 6, it says they wandered all over the mountains, on every high hill. My sheep were scattered all over the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. And I read those verses for you, and just in my prayer time and working on these messages, I think that's what God is calling for everyone who calls this church, Community Christian Fellowship, their home. Call them their church family, their place of worship. And I put this in your listening guide for us to move forward by searching and seeking for those who have been scattered by the wild beast. They're everywhere. They might be living next door to you. They might be down the street. They might be working next to you at work. They'll be in your neighborhoods. And then I thought to myself, how do we do that? Because you got to give an answer. And to me, it's by inviting, it's by gathering, it's by compelling. Matthew 22, 9 and 10 says, go therefore, CCF people, to the main roads and invite to the wedding feast as many as you find. And those servants, anybody here a servant of God? Raise your hand. Anybody here to call themselves a servant? Serious, I want to see the hands. I'm serious about this. Anybody here? I consider myself a servant. I put up two hands because I want to serve them twice as hard. And those servants went out into the roads and gathered all whom they found, both bad and good. So the wedding hall was filled with guests. In Luke 14:23, it says, the master said to the servant, go out to the highways and the hedges and compel people to come in that my house may be full. Isn't that powerful?
Yes.
Thank you. Praise God. Tony Evans, want to share a little story about it. And I know you all remember the show Charlie's Angels. Tony Evans wrote this story about it. He goes, I used to love to watch the show, television show Charlie's Angels. These three ladies would go out into harm's way for Charlie. What's interesting is they had never seen Charlie. Charlie was invisible to them, and yet they were willing to do his bidding. They would get a call and receive information about what Charlie wanted them to do, and they would go out and represent Charlie's interests, even though in mean, difficult times for them. It could mean difficult times for them. But they were Charlie's angels. The word angel in the Bible means messenger. The original Greek word is angelos. It means, I think that's Italian angelos, isn't it? Anyway, it means to be a messenger for someone else. Now, if invisible Charlie could get these three ladies to go into harm's way for a man they had never seen, how much should Jesus' angels, messengers, for Jesus Christ be willing to go in harm's way to represent somebody they've never seen? Pretty good analogy, isn't it? And I think that call we get is from the Holy Spirit. I think that call we get is from the Bible. And I think the call we get has to come from this pulpit and our community groups and our ministry leaders like Caleb and Melissa. We get this calling to prepare people to make a difference in this world. Tony said, even though we haven't seen him, we should be ready to fulfill his mission and to share his love with others. That's it. How would you describe Christianity? There you go. How would you describe what it means to go and make a difference for him? 1 Peter 1, 8, and 9 says, though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not see him now, you believe in him and you rejoice with joy, with that inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith and the salvation of your souls. Think about it. What does it look like to move forward for us as a church? Love him. Believe in him. Rejoice in him. And what are the results? The outcome of our faith. The salvation of our souls. And I thought to myself, you got to think about also the souls that we have invited, gathered together with, as well as those you compel to come to surrender their lives to Christ. And maybe in that fill in the blank there, the souls that Elizabeth or Brandon or Kathy or Nick or Caleb have invited. I mean, I could do everybody's name. Gather together with those who you compelled to come and surrender your lives, to be a part of a church family who has made a commitment to move forward in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To walk in wisdom towards them without, the Bible says, redeeming the time. Let our speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that we may know how to answer everybody. To be a church who would make a commitment to seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. To be a church to make a commitment that whatever we would do in word and deed, that we would do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The song tells us we can change the world together. Please don't close your eyes. Please don't turn away. Let your voices rise. Put your love on display, and we can make a difference now. I believe you and me can make a difference now, and it begins with one. One last story for Tony Evans, and I'll close. There's an American embassy in England. Located in that building in England is all the power of the U.S. government in one square block. Everything needed from an American standpoint is inside that building, because when it speaks on behalf of the government of America. Suppose another world leader comes to the president and says, let's have some negotiation, and the president can say, I already have an ambassador in your country. I already have an ambassador in England. And what he would be implying is that when you talk to the ambassador in England, it's just like talking to the president here in the United States. And I'm here to close to tell you today, the Bible says that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. When people hear from us, they have just heard from God. So we're here for Christ, because of Christ. And I really think he has given each one of us that call him his Lord and Savior as a delegated authority to speak on his behalf in this generation. How can we be ambassadors with our mouths closed? He has given us the privilege of being a spokesman. Speak up, men. Speak up, women. Speak up, teenagers. Speak up, children. This past Wednesday, I got to go because I talked to Betty, and she said Bill was in a... I'm going to talk about your husband now. Bill was in a rehabilitation center down here, Lakewood, Manassas, I think it's called. So I walked in there, talked to Bill, spent about an hour with him. Just incredible. He looked good, Betty. But he made these statements that he wanted me to tell you. He said, I'm going to follow this road till it gets me to Jesus. Is there any other road that you would rather be on? And I said, no. And then I started talking about, man, when you were young, did you ever think we'd be calling each other on our phone? Because I'm getting texts while I'm talking to them. And Bill said this. He said, back in the day, we would talk to a pack of cigarettes. Today, you can talk to a cell phone and it isn't going to hurt you. But if you talk to a pack of cigarettes and smoke them, it can kill you. Bill's like being a philosopher now and then. And then he said, listen, I'm getting ready to join the heavenly choir. Please tell everybody in that church that I miss them and God bless them. That's a message Bill wanted me to give. And we were just fired up. And then a lady came into the room who was cleaning up and taking the trash. And I started talking to her about Jesus. And I said, you know, do you have any kids? Yeah, he's 26 years old. You know, if he came to you and asked you, how do you get to heaven? What you tell him? You got to receive Christ as a personal Savior. And I said, I saw it when you walked in this room. I saw it in a smile on your face. And then I'm walking down the hall, looking in the room, see who I can talk to. Then there was a lady probably in her 90s in a wheelchair in the hallway. And I just went up and knelt next to her. And I said, is there anything I can pray for you for, man? And just get fired up in those places, man. And she looked at me and, you know, she had trouble speaking, you know, and it was tough. So I just prayed for her. It's beautiful. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God is making his appeal through us. Everywhere we go, we implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The power of one. CCF, changing the world together. Band, if you want to come forward, and ushers. It's beautiful. And I thought about ending with a pretty powerful song. I thought love was only true in fairy tales, meant for someone else, but not for me. Love was out to get me. That's the way it seemed. Disappointment haunted all my dreams. Then I saw his face. And now I'm a believer, not a trace, no doubt in my mind. I'm in love, I'm a believer. I couldn't leave Jesus if I tried. Praise God. Love. Thank you so much for your word today, Father. We lift up our offering to you, Lord. Thank you for all the things that you've done through the years here at this church, Lord. We're going to celebrate it on September 22nd. 20 years that you have kept this church going, Father. And I thank you for those that are here, those that are faithful, Lord. Those who want nothing else but to come to this, their house, and to learn how to serve you and learn about you so we can go outside these walls and move forward in our community to make a difference, Father. We want our church to grow, Lord. We want our church to be a place of hope where they can come and be healed and sought after. We want our church to go after those who are straying, who are wandering, Father. So I ask you to bless our offering today. Ask you to bless this altar call, Father, because we want nothing else but to open this altar for those who want to reach out to you, to know you, maybe confess, maybe ask you to give the words that they need to say, maybe to a spouse or a neighbor, because you know you are calling us to move forward with the gospel, and maybe there's some obstacles that are happening in your life right now, and you want to come overcome those obstacles, because God is a God of possibilities, Father. And I give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen.